Blog Talk Radio.
Elegy for the bench and bar on 11th Street in downtown Oakland, sailing ignorant toward a short-term Bush League skyline, past 1 million other gazes, past 1 billion other galaxies. Carl Sagan is going to sell out to the dark side any day now. And it's a fine career option for breaking up lovers, scamming free mind expanders, and generally puts the squeeze on God-fearing taxpayers. Now drop on down to the tar and gravel lawn chair, dreaming in nighttime clothes, cloaked in a snug gray drizzle, inspiration warming down, coiled in streaming sheets of determined rain, still a hint of moonlight outlining the monolith background, just enough to grind out a little more existence, a little more creation. Got to take out another loan on the body to buy a little more mind for the tongue. And wonder how much credit is left. Lying down in an empty bed and lovingly begin building forms strange yet known to try and fill deep wrinkles in the comforter for a moment. Only alien wrinkles. Hint fulfillment, emergence, which sneaks past last hour's downpour and sweet clove wisps. Good evening and welcome to the Spectral Ganglia. I am Paul Corman Roberts, one of the hosts of Project U Radio, and I often frequent host of Spectral Ganglia. And I believe out there with me tonight is Miss Lynn Alexander. Lynn, are you out there?
I am. I am here. And I enjoyed your introduction there. That was a very cool piece. And, you know, I think it's a good way to start things off. I mean, I was kind of digging that, you know. I feel like I just want to be quiet and listen. But you know what? But we can't do that. You know why we can't do that? Because we
have an idea. I have an idea.
Well,
we have calls. We have people who want to, read tonight because we're an open mic.
Right. Well, actually, we don't yet. So we've got, it's okay. And we might not. You know what? It's all good. You know, I don't worry about it. You know, it's 11:30 Eastern time. It's a work night. It's all good.
Is it raining? Do you have thunderstorms there?
Actually, we do not. We have, although we had snow the other day, which was a little bit, you know, unsettling. We had a week of like 80 degrees, and then all of a sudden, you know, we had snow, and it was in the 30s and 40s again. And, you know, all those people that ran out and bought their pansies and, you know, overzealous and
It must have been a little heartbreaking for those folks.
Yeah, you know, you just can't do that. You know, it's very unpredictable. Like, you know, a lot of people said, well, you know, aren't you planting yet? And I said, hell no, it's April. I know how these things go. You know?
Wait, don't they remember the line, April showers? April showers? My God, it's in our oral tradition. April showers. Don't come. I mean, snow in April is still pretty unusual.
It is. I mean, usually by now in this zone, agricultural zone, we're mm-hmm. usually clear. I mean, this is unusual. But I do wait before I strictly.
Now we're having weird weather all around. We have thunderstorms here in Northern California. My power could go out at any moment.
Right. Well,
a lightning strike on a transformer. So if I suddenly just drop off the line, you'll know that that's probably it.
Right. Well, hey, we've had that on our show. We've had,
That would not be a first.
No, it wouldn't. We've had electricity. We've had nervous breakdowns. We've had, you know, all sorts of things.
We've been the victims of horrible, horrible pranks by unscrupulous presses.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's fine though. It's, you know, and I mean, as you know, I've been home from work. I've been actually sick this week off and on, and that's not like me. You know, I usually am not one of those people that gets sick and loaf around in my pajamas the way I have been. But actually, I'm kind of enjoying it, I have to say. You know, I don't enjoy being sick, but, you know, boy, I really could get into this. I could get into doing this every day, you know, very easily. I'm scared at how easy it would be to just, yeah, stay home and drink tea and watch Dr. Oz.
Get to know the couch. Get to know the couch, get to try out different flavors of ice cream. I know. I guess it's supposed to be my metrosexual shame that I know that shame spiral so well. I've been there. But when you're tending to a closet full of pot plants, you don't really have a lot of other time to do but sit around watching it and, you know, biding your time in between feedings and making sure the lights are working and you know, watching a whole lot of TV during the day.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't do that anymore, by the way.
right. So no one needs to come and check on your electrical, you know, your meter and
No. Although I've had members of my family look at my basement and go, like, get breathless, and their eyes go wide, and I'm like, what? And she's like, you never have to work a day in your life again. And I'm like, well, yeah, actually, I would. It would be a lot of work to convert this whole space, and it would be a hell of a lot of risk to grow a bunch of fucking plants down here. Not that this would be my father suggesting this type of activity or anything, but you know, that's kind of how I grew up.
Yeah, no, me too. I mean, you know, I'm no stranger to the occasional medicinal crop, you know. And,
of the moonshiner, basically.
Right. I mean, I haven't been in your basement, so I haven't scoped it out as far as, you know, appropriateness. But I'm sure it's manageable. I think what people do is they sort of connect into. I mean, I don't know about there, but there have been a lot of cases where people have actually done things with their meters and their wiring to sort of hide the fact that they're using a lot of electricity for that purpose. I guess you have to have a pretty big crop to warrant that kind of
precaution. Yeah, you'd have to do a lot of growers prefer to go with sodium lights, which use a lot less energy to kick out a lot more, the certain kind of photon that, you know, sort of gets the nutrients. Sodium lights are really good for that. Sodium lights are also really expensive. And, of course, in large amounts, they will still make a noticeable dent on your electric bill, but not so much as the standard lights. That's one of the tricks I learned. One of the tricks we didn't learn was how to outvent the smell of our harvest quite so well. That was our downfall 15 years ago. And you should never try to take on such an endeavor in a multi-floored apartment building, because eventually your neighbors are going to complain.
Yeah, and Febreze doesn't quite cut it.
No, it sure doesn't. It doesn't.
That's
it doesn't
really my answer
fact.
To everything, you know. Like,
it doesn't remove the fact that your third bedroom smells like you've got about 75 dead skunks in there.
I mean, Febreze is like, we don't have clean socks, you know, it's just Febreze apparent. No, I'm kidding. But no, I mean, I spray that stuff, you know. I think I have an addiction, some kind of problem. And you know what's funny is my brother's like that. Last time I saw my brother, I noticed like a huge, you know, stockpile of Febreze, you know, and I was like, see that? There's like a genetic, you know, issue. You know, we have like an issue with odor eradication, I guess. I don't know.
Well, what kind of emotional feelings do you have when you see the Febreze logo?
Emotional feelings.
Emotional response. If you were suddenly to see the Febreze logo right now, what kind of an emotional response would you have right now?
You know, gratitude, you know, like, you know what, Febreze, you have gotten me out of many a situation. You are the eraser of evidence. We actually, and you know, we do have a few callers, so I'm going to you know, I had it in my mind that I would sort of talk a little bit about July. I know it's early to talk about July, but, you know, people have said, you know, like, what the hell is this toxic abatement?
It's less than 3 months away. No, it's not. Anything less than 3 months away, it's not too early to talk about.
Right. So, you know, just really, really fast. I mean, you know, as we try to throw in there that this is Project U Radio, which is a project of the Literary Underground. And some people don't know that it's also home to the Independent Press Wiki, which is sort of a directory of people and presses. And, you know, if you aren't in it, you know, don't bitch. Don't sit there and be like, you know, offended. Just write something up, send it over to Michelle McDonald, or you can send it to me and I'll make sure it goes up. And, you know, that's kind of how it works. I mean, we don't personally hunt down every individual, you know. I mean, it isn't a personal thing. It isn't a slight if you're not in it. It's you know, nothing to be offended about. It just simply means that, you know, we're adding them as we get them, the entries. So, yeah, we have a lot of stuff going on in July on the West Coast in the Bay Area. A bunch of us are doing a bunch of things. And when I say a bunch of us, you know, Michelle McDonald, I just mentioned, Frankie Metro, John Swain, Brian Fouget, Tim Murray, Lindsay Thomas, and more people. I mean, you know, and hopefully you'll see as July gets closer that, you know, we'll have, you know, a lot more names. I mean, people have told us they're coming, but, you know, we aren't kind of going public with our big list and roster yet. But, you know, it's going to be a full week. I'm doing, as you know, Gene Lawson's reading on the 3rd, and then on the 4th is obviously the 4th of July. But on the 5th is this thing, this toxic abatement, and people have said, well, what the hell is that about? You know, that's sort of in between, you know, that and The Beast Crawl and Zyphez. And, you know, I don't know, do you want to say a little bit about that, spoken words, contaminated
words? Well, toxic abatement. Toxic abatement is a cottage industry in the state of California, to be frank about it. You know, people find that they have to remove poisons from their sort of their domestic ecosystems, and that can be your home, that can be your body, it can be your spirit, your psyche, your sexuality. There's all kinds of ways to remove poisons from your immediate environment. And you know, California is about nothing if not cleansing, in a way, starting anew, starting with a blank slate. But before you start with a blank slate, you really have to flush the system. I mean, I think most people understand this in one way or another. And so, toxic abatement promises to be a flushing of many systems, as you know, several great readers from the Fuller Crow Press are going to flush poison from their systems and get it out. And it'll be our audience, our job as an audience, to be like the fungal sponge that absorbs it into the collective, reprocesses it out as something healthy and nutritional for the rest of society. And that's, I think that's the way it works. And we're going to have a little help doing that with the three bad band, which Jesus Angel Garcia and Jeremy Hatch are a big part of. And we're going to be fantastic. And hold on just a moment, please.
You know what? While Paul goes,
I'm getting a candle here in case the lights go out, because there's the power could
break
out. Thank you.
I'm putting 614 on just in case 614 is like chewing Cheetos or Cheez-Its or something. You know?
Yeah, I'm not chewing anything.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. No, because we've had that happen where I've sort of put somebody through.
I could have been chewing something,
Well, we've had people. You could have been, and so I feel like it's my responsibility to sort of warn people, because there was a time, and I think it might have been Brian, where I put him through, and maybe it wasn't Brian, but the person was sort of like bickering with somebody in the background.
No. I'm cleansing. I started stopping smoking. So I'm listening to this talk about cleansing, and I'm like, yes, my brain it's crunchy and it's chewy, and my brain hurts. I've started stopping smoking today.
That is so difficult. I give you so much credit.
I'm going to go out to California and cleanse. I need to cleanse. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Have you have Have you written a poem about getting this out of your? I mean, have you possibly considered taking your brain and just sort of wringing it out to get all that stuff out of it?
Oh my God, I would love to get my brain out of my body right now. That would be great.
Or like colon cleanser or anything.
Sure.
Like
yes, just to get it out and rinse it out. That would be great.
Well,
be
high
awesome.
Colonics, I've heard.
Mental
colonics.
That'd be a very high colonic. That'd be like a super high colonic, like right up. like super high. Yeah.
Like a radiator flush.
Yeah,
you know,
that would be like a
like
yeah,
that.
That'd be like a high hat colonic. Like,
I believe that's what Jerry Garcia always referred to dropping the mushrooms as every once in a while you have to flush the system out.
That's awesome.
I believe that's what that refers to.
Yes, I believe that. I think that's right.
Right. Well, yeah.
Oh,
I mean, I give you a lot of credit. That's highly addictive.
It's awful.
And that,
it's really awful.
Yeah.
Nobody
Are you using the gum or the patch or the electric?
I've started the patch, but I'm holding off on putting on a patch right now because I'm trying to test myself without nicotine at all.
You know
so I thought I'd call you guys up and hey. I'm really wigged out, you know. I'm really tweaked out.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd call you back and say, hey.
It's better to get the patch on, though, before you hit your moment of weakness, though. Some people say, don't wait until you're climbing the wall.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to smoke. I'm just going to put on a patch in a little while and
talk about other things.
There's other habits and other addictions you can explore.
Don't replace it
with something else. But you know what? Be careful with the patches. Some people have very strange dreams when they use the patches at nighttime.
Yeah, I usually have strange dreams, and yes, they are strange with the patch, yes.
Yeah, I mean, years ago, I put one of those on, and 2 o'clock in the morning, I was like ripping it off my ass.
I know, I'm like, Cousin Eddie, where did you come from? Oh my God, in my dreams, what?
Right.
I don't remember you.
It's pretty horrible.
Yeah, it's weird.
Well, you know what? I'm sorry. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're reading, if you are reading
I thought I'd read something. I was a longtime collaborator with a poet from Seattle, Washington named Dana Guthrie Martin. And we wrote a long project called The Disaster. And I thought I'd read the first part of The Disaster. We no longer speak to each other, unfortunately. We had a falling out. But this is the first part of The Disaster. This has to be heard. I think it's a great work. You know, whatever. All right. This is called The Disaster, Part 1. And I drank the water I poured yesterday and bit the mango I left in the car and should be able to make it to the end of the block if I untie my ankles and steal a bike. And just this once can I locate the leash without a struggle, and please, sweet Jesus, listen to me when I ask for help, and purr in my ear your distant support, and whose boot print stains my floor, and when did the lamp strike the wall, and how can I decorate around the mark? And if I hung your pashmina as camouflage, would I stop to smell it every morning? And would I embrace it, and in embracing it, would I scratch the wall with my chewed nails? And would I weep tears the shape of our last argument? And would those tears nourish the cat? And would the cat find its way back to its real home across the street? And if I keep the blinds closed, no one will ever see how I slink around wearing a bandana for a top and a paper hat the shape of a sinking ship and never shoes in the house and never dresses in the drugstore and I go out in my porn worn silk suit and Allemande left with my shadow and my shadow does not know left from right. And it is always wearing black, and it says only I hear the square dance caller, so it never knows what steps to anticipate until I move this way or that, and it tries to follow along, and 3 days ago I inadvertently got my shadow in a stranglehold when our signals crossed, and even though I apologized and brought flowers, it still will not speak to me, and runs off every time it sees me coming, and though it is scared, and I know it is scared, it's running, so it's so graceful I drop to my knees at the sight. Grateful I nearly strangled it because that much beauty only follows that much fear. and I need something beautiful. And there it is again, hop skipping up and over the neighbor's chain link fence in one contiguous motion. And now my shadow is rubbing the neighbor's shoulders, and now they are having drinks on the patio. And now my shadow will not respond when I clear my throat and stare, and my neighbor smells like stale beer and fried meat, and he never closes his blinds, and I have seen things in the bowels of his house that I have the decency to not share, but I can say that there were objects involved, and that those objects were not being used for their intended purposes, and that sometimes I think about the fact that a few raps of his lion-headed door knocker from Pottery Barn and a nice platter of chocolate-dipped holiday cookies to break the ice are all that stands between us and the joy of a stranger going at our erogenous zones with a Dremel tool. And then I come to my senses and think about how many shadows have entered this house, never to return, and how strange it is to see residents walking around smiling without shadows while their clothes still have shadows. And this, of course, reminds me that you are shadows now, more like a shadow than ever, and I can barely remember a time when my thoughts did not pass clean through you. That's the end, the first part.
Wow, that was great. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, especially, I mean, with what you said at the beginning about your falling out and, you know,
Yeah, we had a
end.
Falling out. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so that happened after that. So
yeah.
We were riding this when we were together, but, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like the part of the shadow not knowing left from right, and I don't know the objects for their intended purposes. There's good stuff in there.
Kind of funny a little bit.
Yeah, and the Dremel tool, right? Isn't that the little rotary tool that you use to kind of?
Rotary tool,
yeah, I have one of those.
Oh,
really? Believe that. They're very handy. You can carve things.
It's
you can remove.
Kind of funny.
Rust.
It's supposed to be kind of funny. I read it serious, but you know I'm like deadpan reading, because I read everything deadpan, like the great Russian absurdist. I can't remember his name, but you read everything deadpan, right? Like,
right.
You know, and then you get people to laugh. If they laugh, then great. But if they don't. If they're just staring at you at the end, that's even better.
Yeah, you got to engage. You got to engage.
I love it.
Right. Did you have another one? I don't want to pressure you or anything.
What? Who,
me? I don't want to pressure you or anything. Yeah.
No, but I can read part two.
Okay.
Part two is kind of shorter. Should I do that?
Yeah, I think you should. I think you should.
All right.
I'm trying to think
this
if you mean
two.
Carms, but I mean, I'm sorry. Now I'm interrupting.
Yeah,
but I'm
Carms,
not...
Daniel Carms.
Okay, I'm
yes.
trying to, like, I'm
he
sorry.
Wrote...
Like, my mind is still stuck on that. I'm sorry.
The Dremel tool. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, Daniel Carms, he read everything deadpan, like,
right.
He read these absurdist poems, and he read them like deadpan, like just, you know, like, Mr. Frankenstein, like, you know. That's awesome. I love that. Just
yeah,
like,
no.
It's fun.
Right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean
great.
To be fixated on
no,
I'm sorry.
That's exactly what I meant. I meant Daniel Carms. I meant that.
Right. I'm sorry. On to part two. I didn't
right.
mean to
on
be
to part
rude.
Two. Part two is called, "And If My Body Could Tell My Mind to Shut the Fuck Up." And if my spongy brain meat could open envelopes, and if upon hearing a letter read, I could tell the sender to bite me, and am I not a taxpayer, and don't I shuffle my sidewalk, and making a paper mache model of every neighborhood cat is not universally considered a misguided pastime, and if you say so, I will retort is not, and we could go back and forth like that all day, but if we choose to hack at time in this manner, can we at least sit on a teeter-totter, because we used to have so much fun on them, especially the newly painted ones that were bright as a promise and stamped the seats of our pants orange. And if my liver could tell my heart to crouch in a corner and screw itself, and if my toes could tell my lips to leave them alone, and if between my thighs and nipples I could think, and if my retinas weren't stained with the shape of you when you walk angrily into another room or another hemisphere, and if the birds would stop chanting your name as they jump from branch to branch like idiots, and I meant it when I said no, and I meant it when I said yes, And they were wrong about inertia, because everything at rest moves again as if it never stopped moving. And I offer you as evidence, and that means I need to handle you with gloves from here on out to keep you pristine for the jury. And why don't my fingers listen when I tell them shoplifting is immoral? And why can't I teach them to measure what they take? And all they want is to escape these rotten wrists. And every sullen part wants to shrug one last time and quit. Each appendage wants to succeed on its own, away from the calculating tyranny of mind. And my hand says it's not you, it's me. And my foot says the magic is dead. And when can I collect pastel eggs in a basket and have them delivered to you by courier pigeon? And yes, I do realize you will have to stop being vegan for that to happen. And is that really too much for me to ask? And have I not always done what you said? Like the time you reminded me to put my underwear on before my jeans. And like the time you told me to get down from the table. And didn't I keep the props in the closet and the photos in a corrupted file? And didn't I vandalize every target you pointed at? And didn't I, when you commanded, climb back up on that table? And don't I still read your horoscope every day and wonder how you are using those lucky numbers? And the money I send knows you better than I do, and you're the eye in the pyramid on the dollar's back. And how long am I expected to keep your ferrets, which bite my arms as I dress them in the morning? But maybe I will keep them around, since they look at me the way you used to. And I like to believe I am food covered in musk, and that small portions of me might make a life a memorable meal. And finally, I've figured out the perfect thing to say to you, and I've been getting around to saying it, but the mail has poured in ever since I started donating to charitable causes on your behalf. And they all thanked me by sending along photos of farm animals I sponsor. And did you know that just $120 will feed a chicken named Ava for a year? It's all without punctuation.
Ah, that's awesome. That's how much I want to feed a chicken for.
No, I see what you mean, though.
So that's why, you know, it's like a wall of text. It's like a wall of text. So it's like, that's why I read it like that, you know?
Yeah, no, I like the way that you read that. I mean, I know what you mean about, you know, that sort of, I mean, it is sort of, has that monotone thing going. And
with that deadpan absurdism that comes in right at the end, you know, and that was perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like that it's, you know, the way that you read it, it's even like that. I mean, and it gets you to sort of focus on the words and, you know, pulling things out, you know, on your own as you're listening, appendages and things, you know, different things just sort of jump out, you know.
Right, absurdism throughout, for sure.
Yeah, your eye on the dollar bill. I mean, there's a lot of things in there. No, that's cool. I mean,
you liked it.
Yeah, you know, it's always great when you read things. And I always ask, you know, sort of like where, and a lot of people listen in archives, you know, much more than live, but, you know, like where people can, like, hunt you down or, you know, find your stuff, that kind of thing.
They can find my blog at Exhaust Fumes and French Fries. That's the title of it. If you Google that, you'll get my blog.
Right.
It's on WordPress. Not too many other people have that as a title.
No, I would think not. So you're the first one when you do Exhaust Fumes and French Fries.
Well, I'm like the fourth, oddly enough. You know, Exhaust Fumes, Poisonous Exhaust Fumes, and get a few, you know, Google things like that. But I'm about the number five or six. So.
Exhaust Fumes. See, you need toxic abatement. You need to...
Yes, I do need We all need toxic abatement.
We
all need that.
We do the whole damn world, really. I mean, I think we're a bit too far gone, but you know.
Yeah, I think we are.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't mean to be cynical and a downer. What did Paul call me? Yeah. What was it? The wet blanket thing? But
not on this show. That might have been some other show.
I don't hold out a whole lot of hope for humanity at this point. I mean, I think we kind of deserve it, what we're getting. But
a wet blanket is still a blanket. That's what I say. You know, like
well, right. Some people don't even have the blanket.
Some people don't even have the wet blanket. Right.
Right.
That's true.
Right. Would you, was wet blanket or no blanket? Let me tell you, it's raining like Poseidon's pissing on us out here in California right now. So,
Right.
I know there's people
right.
out there. I know there's people out there right now who don't have blankets. You know, they're not that
that's
far
right.
away from me. You know.
Yeah.
God.
That's right.
Right. Right. No, I think somebody. Yeah. I've been hearing about the rain out there. But, you know, I don't have that this time, but I know how it is when you have candles and things and you're kind of waiting for the power to go out, and yeah.
It's really great to listen to the poetry on this show and the voices and the discussion and hear these long rolls of thunder in the background. It's actually really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it would be. Is there, and there's lightning and everything outside.
We have lightning, we have thunder, and we never get lightning and thunder in the Bay Area. We're getting it more and more. You can't tell me the climate's not changing. Give me a break.
I won't tell you that because, you know, because
you're getting snow in April. Because you're getting snow in April.
Well, it annoys me when
Well, snow's not that weird in April, but that's the time when the snow's supposed to become rain, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it really is climate, you know, chaos. I mean, you know, nothing annoys me more than when it's, you know, it's cold outside and people walk around and say, oh, so much for global warming, you know, and then they, like, chuckle like just said something hilarious and profound, you know, and you just sort of want to trip them. But, yeah, I mean, it's all kinds of things connected together, and it manifests in a lot of different changes,
right.
So... Yeah,
right.
I mean,
well,
global
warming is not an accurate description. The description is climate change. That's the that's the correct perception to be a fucking geek about it. But that's why it gets clowned and because it's just, you know, environmentalists just aren't great at branding. And they're good at some kinds of branding and not so good at other kinds of branding. Put it that way.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think
it's totally fucked up. You know, this whole warm. They're all saying, oh, it's so warm this winter in Ohio. Well, you know what? It could be freezing next year in Ohio, and it's still climate change, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You don't get it. It doesn't happen in a year.
You know what else annoys me? It annoys me when people say, we've got to save the planet. And I want to just shake them and say, the planet's going to be fine. It's our species that has a problem.
Right.
You know, the planet.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the planet will survive long after we do, you know. I mean, I think they need to solve us, you know. I mean, you know,
and
shake
it will.
Us off.
It will. Yes, it will.
Yeah, I think it will. And I think it will, but yeah, I mean, it's all kind of connected and yeah, I mean, any chance you can get out to California, not to put you on the spot, but is that too much of a Yeah, is that too much of a stretch for you to like get out there?
Oh, that would be awesome. Oh, that would be awesome. I would love that.
Because, you know, we're...
get out to California?
Well, what we tried to do with these events in July is sort of cluster a whole bunch of things. So that's why we're doing, you know... I'm actually getting out there July 3rd.
Are you posting anything on Facebook or anything about this?
Yeah, you know what, and I have to do a better job. You know, now that we're getting all the venues together and everything is falling into place.
Let me know on Facebook. Let me know.
Yeah, I mean, once we have it all sort of mapped out and organized, which we're sort of doing, you know, this week and next week, you know, we'll be, you know, definitely spreading the word more and getting, you know, all the details out there. But we just have a whole bunch of different events, and we tried to sort of make it so that if people were able to travel into the Bay Area, that it would maybe kind of be worth their while. There would be a lot of different activities and things and events.
Great.
You know, as opposed to, you know, flying 3,000 miles, going to a 3-hour reading and going home, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff, you know. Basically, really, it's like a week of just stuff. So, yeah, we'll be
where the great David Lerner was born and raised out there. The great
and died out
David
here.
Lerner, the poet. Yeah.
Yes, died out here.
Yeah.
David Lerner. David Lerner. Yeah, that's David Lerner's. I got to see him. I got to see him perform live in 1996.
He's one of my heroes, one of my poster heroes.
Did you ever get to see him, Nathan? Did you ever get to see him perform?
No, I never got to see him live. Not many did.
You can't even know how blessed and lucky I feel. I mean, he David Lerner and Vampire Mike Cassell, I watched them feature together
at the Paradise Lounge.
He was my uncle, my friend
Nikki Crump.
Yeah.
Nikki Crump was a great friend of mine. I have two of his chapbooks, two of Vampire Mike's chapbooks.
Yep.
In my house, signed by him. He was an awesome.
Nice. Vampire Mike and David Lerner, they were like nobody else. I watched them feature it at the Paradise Lounge in 1996. They changed my idea together. And not just them. I want to give props to, you know, Joey Cohen and Kathleen Wood and all the other Babar scene people. You know, they were part of that Babar, the group that called themselves the Babarians.
The Barbarians.
And really watching them do their thing, and they were towards the end. They were tailing towards the end of their crest or their wave or whatever it was. Because I remember the early 90s, there was such a great spoken word renaissance in the early 90s, and those people just turned it on their heads in a way that the Beats never could have imagined doing, and it was punk and it was street and it was sex workers and it was drunks and it was just people who had been kicking around and surviving the scene forever, and they changed my idea, my conception of what a poem was. You know,
in
their hands, the poem became a weapon. You know, the poem became a weapon, and that was how they changed me and changed my conception of it. You know,
that's right. I was in grad school. I was reading Wordsworth and Coleridge and all this shit for like 16 years. I was in grad school,
which is not without value. But my God, you know,
not without value. No, that was great. That was awesome. That I had the time to do that. But then I picked up the Outlaw Bible of American Poetry, and I started reading David Lerner and started reading all these guys, and I was like, and women, and I was like, holy crap, this is all happening out there, and no one's telling us about this, and no one is telling us about this. So one day I went into my class, and I said, all right, everybody get the Outlaw Bible, and you all get A's. And I gave them all A's. And I walked out of my class, and I gave everyone an A. Everyone at Ohio State in sophomore writing class got an A that semester because, you know, I just gave them all A's, and I just walked out.
If only I'd been at Ohio State then, my God. No.
Yeah, that was 2000, yeah.
No, my goodness.
Spring of 2000.
Oh, my goodness.
Like,
our comrade, Franklin Metropolis, would be very, very proud of you for doing that, let me tell you. I hope Frankie's out there listening, but I hope if he listens later, he knows that's an action he would definitely approve of.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's screw it. Give him all A's. Yeah, screw it. And I turned in my papers, and I turned in the sheets, and I said, everybody gets an A. Fuck it.
Yeah, actually, it was suggested because of different discussions, you know, that you know how it is on Facebook and other places. It was actually suggested that we do one of our, you know, we do these little topic shows and we, you know, talk about things and, you know, talk out of our asses and that kind of stuff for a while.
Because Project U Radio is not afraid to do that.
That's right. That's right. Let it be said, let it be known that we are not afraid to talk out of our asses so everyone can hear it. But,
my sweetest voice comes out of my ass.
It's But it was suggested that we actually discuss the whole outlaw, you know, label and the whole outlaw tradition.
Outlaw,
you know, and I'm
actually
a little afraid.
That was a gift to me. That was a gift. That book was a gift to me. And I was like, holy shit. I've been reading Wordsworth and Coleridge, and nobody told me about this stuff. It was like the Barbarians. Oh, my gosh. Nobody told me about this. And I was like, I was thrown. I was totally thrown. That was about 1999. And I was like, holy crap. People are writing poetry. Really?
Like this?
It's not dead? Yeah. I'm not teaching a dead art. You really?
It has to do with now. Uh-huh. there was a great anthology that came out in New York called Poems That Hurt, and it was this great twist. It was like this great, it's like somebody finally took the Beats and Bukowski and like put them together and really like and kind of did it right as a community, at least for a little while before it all, you know, wound up, you know, collapsing under its own ethereal, ephemeral weight, you know.
Yeah,
it happens.
Right.
That's what happens.
But, we met this street girl. I mean, we were on the streets and we were meeting each other, and we had this tiny group of people, about 20 people, who were reading out of the poetry, you know, the Outlaw Bible, mm-hmm. and like we're reading to each other and, you know, doing all sorts of, you know, drinking stuff and whatnot and that. And we were all like, oh, wow, this is a, all right, people are doing this right now. And then I said, okay, I'm going to leave school. Then that's it. I'm leaving school. Forget it. I'm not going to teach Wordsworth anymore. I'm not going to do it. You know, I love Wordsworth. I love Wordsworth. He's great, man. But, you know, I'm not going to teach it to the son of the wealthiest car salesman in Columbus.
Yeah. I'm going to actually pick up 937 if you guys don't mind hanging out. And
not at all.
Yeah, hello 937. I have no idea who you are, but I, you know, you're here with us, and we are talking about all kinds of things. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. It's me, Prime QJ.
What's up, guys? I'm enjoying the show. Everyone's calling in from Ohio, apparently.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You know what? It's the funny thing is that, you know, I don't know. Who knew that Ohio, I mean, really, it's got so many different wonderful writers and people and such a vibrant, you know, scene and all, you know, really all over the state. And so, yeah, I mean, mad props to Ohio tonight. I mean.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always kind of, not surprised, I don't want to use the word surprised, but, you know, growing up in New York, Ohio was always like, it was always like the joke, like, yeah, that's when the Midwest starts, and it's like nothing really goes mm-hmm. on after there, you know,
and
that's absolutely not true. I mean,
it's a big misconception. Big misconception about Ohio is people have always thought, you know, that it was just nothing but cornfields and hits, you know, and...
And that's it, right? Yeah.
Right. Now, Indiana, that's another story.
Yeah, Indiana, forget about Indiana. Forget about them.
And I do forget about Indiana.
And Nebraska, no way.
Oh, my
God.
I've traveled out west several times, and Nebraska is like the longest state driving through.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I-80.
I can imagine. Yeah, I mean, yeah, plus Tim Murray's in Indiana, and you know how we feel about him.
Yeah.
We'll just leave him in his cornfield.
Isn't the alternate name In Banana?
In Banana.
Tim Murray's like a professional scarecrow, I think, out there in the cornfield.
Great job. The great job, if you can get it, that's a great job.
It really is.
Yeah.
You just need a good hat. You just need a really good hat for that.
Yeah, and some limber.
Protect
on.
You from the sun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and an unpleasant demeanor. You know.
Yes.
Yeah. Otherwise, they'll just sit on your shoulder and yeah. So Brian,
yeah.
Maybe your ears were burning. Your small little ears were burning.
Those little artificial ears of mine. Yeah. I'm really psyched up about, you know, the shows we have going on the West Coast this year. I mean, that's going to be really fun, really exciting. And, I still don't know how I'm going to get out there yet. Don't know how I'm going to get out there. I'm either going to take the road trip with Michelle McDonald and Tim Murray.
You're going to get in the car.
That would be fun, but, you know.
For 4 days?
No. See, if I can't do that, then I'm going to have to, like, either take the Amtrak or a plane. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd prefer not to take the plane because, I don't know, I've never flown before, and the thought of that scares the shit out of me.
Oh, my gosh. We could fly out by you. A bunch of us could meet up and, you know, well, of course, that just makes a layer of complexity once again, but...
Oh, yeah.
You know, Yeah.
The viscosity of that group dynamic wouldn't go crashing off the rails at any point.
Yeah, that might not work. Well, you know, between now and July, everyone that I talk to, I'm going to be like, you know, trying to encourage them to get on a plane and get out there because, you know, there's just so many different things going on, and I think it's just such an opportunity to meet so many different people from really all over the country. I mean, you know, not to, like, sell it like that, but, you know, there aren't a whole lot of times where you can sort of go to one location and have just so many different people all flying in from all over.
Right,
you know,
absolutely.
It's definitely going to be, like, the week to, you know, take off from work and just do it. You know, if ever there was a time to say, you know what, hell with it, hell with the job, hell with the kids. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
You know,
no, it's nice to say everyone's going to believe me.
Being a stay-at-home
dad. That's
fine.
Yeah, being a stay-at-home dad thing to help kids.
No,
really
I'm just.
Why do you think I drink so much when I go out to these readings?
Right. Well, you know what? I personally think, and I can say this for myself, it's good for you. It's good for you to, like, step away from your regular life and your laundry and your, you know, PBS kids or whatever
Absolutely.
You have going on.
Well, my kids are far, far, far from being PBS kids. My kids are more like Family Guy and American Dad type kids, which probably isn't healthy mentally for them at this point.
Your kids all play football.
Yes, that's true too. My daughter plays football. She's
Your kids play football too. You got a lot of between the two of you, you got a lot of football play between Pennsylvania and Ohio. No one, it's like the football belt out there.
Oh, it is Pennsylvania. Yeah, and Ohio. Oh my gosh, yeah, it is. I mean, they take high school football here like serious in Ohio. I mean, it's like hardcore.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Texas gets all the credit, but I know Ohio and Pennsylvania, I know it's nuts.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it can be. Well, you know what? It's good for them. It's good for them to, you know, tackle each other and, you know.
And scramble the brains, yeah, and get it, you know.
I don't know.
Keep the extra violent kids from getting into gangs, I guess. So there aren't, you know.
All right. Well, and you'd be surprised. I mean, I get pretty into it. I'm like one of those hollering and, you know, yelling and you know, I get pretty into it. I mean, I don't beat up the other parents or anything. But, yeah, I get pretty excited and, you know, I do because it's good for them. You know, it's good for everyone. It's, you know, I think just anything that, like, gets kids off the couch, away from the, you know, PlayStation and outside is a good idea. We're such a sedentary, you know, like, lazy-ass culture now, you know?
Well, I think that's part of evolution. I think, you know, everything's happening for a reason. I kind of feel like
our asses are growing.
It's part of the evolutionary thing, you know, and we're all going to die out like the dinosaurs eventually.
You know, like, we're becoming brontosauruses. I'm going to actually pick up 217, too, and you know, I figure we can all just kind of, because we have a couple minutes left, we can, hopefully the 217 is still there, and we can just sort of, you know, bullshit around for the last couple minutes. How are you tonight?
Why not?
I'm good. I called in so I could have Brian tell us about that Hoppin' Ohio nightlife.
What about the Hoppin' Ohio nightlife?
Like Murray's Karaoke?
Mary's Karaoke. Is that
the
place to be? Many wonderful poets have come by here and established themselves in the Karaoke Hall of Fame. It's right around the corner from my house, and I'm hoping to have a little karaoke get-together here in May, so, you know, we'll see what happens.
We keep hearing about that. You know what? I have this funny feeling it'll be like June, and I'll say, so, Brian, when is this going on? And he'll be like, 3 weeks ago. You know what I mean?
No, I wouldn't do that, no.
It'll be like that.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, as part of the festivities in California, it's my understanding that there has been a trip planned to the Melody Lounge in El Cerrito, which has got the reputation of being one of the best karaoke bars in the Bay Area. I might be a little biased because it's where I lost my karaoke cherry many, many, many weeks ago. But it's something I've been meaning to do for a long time, and I'm glad I did it. And it sounds like after on Friday night there's going to be a, you know, we have a public experimental performance workshop, open mic kind of dealy. You know, people can kind of get involved and you know, propose some ideas and do little sketches and things. And, you know, I watched a woman, you know, basically perform an entire play or stage an entire one-act play with all of her kitchen appliances, or not kitchen appliances, but, you know, with a mop and a broom and a dustpan and the various pieces of her kitchen cleaning gear. It was very esoteric. I read a piece. I read an ode to a dildo myself in that, and then there's another woman who reenacts her rape one act at a time, and it's so it can be a little disturbing at the same time, but it's a little, but you know, I'm twisted enough to take my kid to these things, you know, because it's a child in a church rectory, and the series is called Retard, and it's very politically incorrect, and it's so wonderful that it takes place in a church rectory. And and my understanding is after this event, which many sort of experimental skits are going to be put on, we're all then heading up to the Melody Lounge for karaoke. Those who are inclined to go do karaoke are going to go make complete fucking asses out of themselves.
That's what I like to watch, yeah.
There you go.
Right up my alley.
Yeah.
Well,
I think I've done it already, but I could do it again. I could make it.
You should totally book your flight, and you should be in touch with us.
Right.
And
no,
yeah.
He's from Ohio. What's your name again?
Friend me on Facebook.
Yeah.
If you have
what's your name
already.
Again?
Nathan Moore.
Nathan Moore. All right. Well, you know, we should. I'm thinking about taking the Amtrak. Have you ever considered taking Amtrak, a train? Wouldn't a train ride across country be fun? It takes
Two
days.
Are you catching trains, like catching boxcars, or like actual
No,
trains?
Like a real train, like Amtrak.
Oh, where you pay for the train? Oh,
right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, where you
or
sit there at a dining car.
I don't know.
Where you can pay for it, yeah. All right, well, I could see how much they cost.
Yeah, it's like, what, $1,500? I thought it was a bit too high.
It's more flying. Why is it? Why is train travel more expensive than flying? Why? I don't understand why that is.
You would think that it would be cheaper,
it would be cheaper.
Yeah, it really isn't, though. It really isn't.
It's like
you have to pay for the maintenance of all those tracks.
Yeah, plus you have to stop, and you know, and I guess
you have to stop and let people off. I guess.
Yeah, But, you know, but you could play cards and you could do, like, train karaoke.
Oh, no, it would be awesome. It would be awesome.
Right.
That
and you could just sit there and not worry about driving or anything and just, you know.
Right.
Read, write.
And it still beats Greyhound.
Get blitzed.
Yeah.
I think it'd be great.
It would be totally great, yeah.
I'm going to read a poem now.
All right.
I'm going to read a poem.
All right.
I'm inspired.
Yeah.
I need
My
a
name
cigarette.
Is Brian
Duche,
and I am a poet, sometimes.
So we've heard.
Title of this poem is Vicious Wishes. Vicious Wishes. There's something oddly attractive about Zoe. Perhaps it's the way she carefully arranges the angular geometric features of her face on her head. Every detail slightly askew. In a bit asymmetrical, like a real-life, living, breathing, flesh-toned rendition of a Picasso painting, always making vicious wishes with that vicious gaze while engaging you in her cryptic Ouija board conversation in fucking poem.
Oh, my gosh, it's like Quentin Tarantino
awesome.
Came in.
Yeah, that was great. All right. That was great.
I just break into spontaneous poetry all the time. It's my life.
It is your life. It's like you have the muse, you know?
Yeah.
I have a question.
Well,
for Brian,
that was good. That was pretty good. That was fun. That was a fun poem.
Yeah, that was fun.
I would like
that
to know
fun.
What Brian
Thank you.
Thinks of colonics and cleansing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're going there.
Brian, are you a practitioner of high colonics? Do you colon cleanse?
I enjoy the the occasional coffee enema.
Coffee enema, yeah.
And I've tried the vodka enema a couple times, and I got drunk way too fast and had to be rushed to the hospital.
The thing is, don't cough during a coffee enema. Don't cough.
Do you think you could tweak one of your poetry bombs?
Yeah.
Tweak one of my poetry grenades?
Yeah, one of your poetry grenades, and you think it could be like fitted with some kind of plastic tubing, and
you know that you've given me some like really scary ideas now, and you know what? Wow.
I think
I should look into that.
Nathan's Dremel hand tool and his rotary tool.
Hey,
wait a second.
No. That was only used for on unknown purposes. We don't know how that was used.
That's true. We have to imagine.
We don't know. That was just a Dremel tool. That was like
They're very very handy tools. You know what? I could go to the retard church and I could do a performance with power tools. So we could have the lady with her kitchen gadgets, and then we could have Paul with his sex toys, and then I could show up with my little versatile stander Yeah,
and we'll just bring Brian and Nathan there to put it all together for us.
I should have taught this as a class in poetry. I should have taught this entire conversation as a class in poetry. I should have taught this. This would be great.
See, this is what it's about,
Yeah, that would be great. That would have been great.
Everything about me is avant-garde, even my nipples.
They're totally out front. They're out front.
I am a very honest person. You ask anybody who's hung out with me at a poetry reading, you get a couple of drinks in me, and I tell everything.
But you know what? When he lies, his nipples grow.
But that's the problem. That's the problem, is there are these sociopathic lies mixed in with that horrible, awful truth.
Right. And we're actually in archives now. So,
archives already? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, you know what?
According to my computer.
Well, everybody's out front, right? I mean, it's like you're out front. Yeah.
And according to my computer, we still have 3 minutes and 4 seconds. Or unless maybe I need to update it, huh?
I think you have a problem, because mine says 12:31. I think you're like on Indiana time or something.
Oh, hell no. Don't even put me in that category. Wow. Ouch. Yeah.
Well, one of those things. So, we have, once again, we have pissed away an hour of Thursday night prime Blog Talk Radio time, and I consider that to be an achievement.
It is an achievement.
And I said, not to keep pushing the point, but anyone who wants information about all this stuff coming up in July, I'm in like promo mode. I'm like trying to push this stuff, this bitch all over the place, and get people to come out and try to convince people that if they do, that they will be rewarded with like Belgian waffles and things like that,
I will reward anyone who comes out with
personally made poetry grenade. Talk about Belgian waffles, God.
we will go to Trader Joe's and buy some,
they have Belgian waffles at Trader Joe's.
Like, I don't know what they have at Trader Joe's.
We'll have a group field trip to Trader Joe's. So that lightning, that thunder was close. Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear that boom in the background?
You know what I would like to do? I would like to actually show up at Trader Joe's, and I could wear like one of my wigs or whatever, and I would like Brian to like videotape us walking around Trader Joe's shopping with our cart.
That would be a bad scene. Bad scene. We have people in jail after that.
I would totally do that.
Yeah, see, you need to come out there. What you need to do is look at your calendar, take everything on it, and just scratch it all off.
I would totally wear a wig at Trader Joe's.
I would totally video you guys at Trader Joe's wearing wigs.
I mean, I think we should do that. I think that should be like, you know, on like our agenda list of things to do, that we will descend and, and, you know, sort of like swarm Trader Joe's and you know what would really, really, like if there was something in the world that would make me absolutely happy, like my tummy smile, it would be if we all broke into song in the middle of Trader Joe's, you know, like L.A. Woman or something.
Whatever.
A spontaneous,
one of those, what do they call those things, though, happenings or something like that, where people suddenly start all dancing and singing?
Something like that, in Trader Joe's.
A flash dance or a flash mob?
Flash mob, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, why couldn't we do that?
All the chocolate monkey's feet. We're all the chocolate monkey's feet that you have in the store. And all.
Yeah.
They don't actually sell chocolate monkey's feet, do they?
No, I think we could do that, though. I think we could, absolutely pull that off. I think we can find out. I mean, I think that we should do that.
I'm sorry.
Can you guys, like, make that commitment?
Everyone went to silence, and there was like, oh, he likes chocolate monkey. No, I was just kidding. It was a joke. It was a joke.
I can make the commitment for anything.
I would
like.
I'm sorry.
As long as I can read a poem.
No, we're cool. We're cool, but yeah, I would like right here, right now, I would like to make that commitment that we are going to go to Trader Joe's
and do a miniature flash mob.
Yeah,
All right.
Oh man. Okay.
Oh god. See, Paul lives there. He can't just like fly away or ride away on the Amtrak. And say goodbye, ha-ha, he's got a reputation.
Yeah,
no,
when they have me down at the cop shop downtown, they go, oh, so you live here, huh? This must have been your idea.
Yeah, but you know what, I have like a Yoda mask, if that would help.
I'm sorry,
one of those Occupier Guy Fox masks, perfect. Yeah, that'll even win me more friends.
It was a joke.
We're just trying to have a little fun, man.
What?
But I don't know. Well, maybe we can add that to the itinerary. I would say for all you Facebook-empowered people. You can find it
not
under the label. You can just go into that little search browser. Go into that little Facebook search browser and put in Zyfez, California. And that'll bring it up. That's going to be in Zyfez, California. And I have it on very good authority. You're going to be able to bring that out because we don't have that out here.
It was a joke, man. It was a joke.
It's okay. You know,
it's all good. It's all good here. Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking I want a chocolate monkey. It sounds really good.
They were organic monkey feet. They were organic chocolate dipped monkey feet. So
okay. Oh, like real monkey feet?
Yeah, like organic. You know.
It's organic. Okay. No, that sounds good. Is there peanut butter inside? I want there to be peanut butter inside.
They're dripping balls of peanut butter. They're dripping balls of peanut butter, and they're dripping chocolate.
They're dripping monkey ball feet.
They're funky and delicious.
Nice.
Delicious.
If you a little salt, to make them a little bit salty on top of that, that would be perfect.
No, they're an Easter treat out here in Ohio. We get them in Ohio at Easter time, and you don't understand. There's these giant Ohio Easter monkeys and sound.
Yeah,
my
here
goodness.
In Ohio, I get chocolate monkey balls speckled with organic pubes all the time, and it's my favorite Easter treat.
No, it isn't.
Wow,
where do you get those, Brian?
I want to read a poem. Please.
You want to read it?
Please, oh God, it just has to come out of me.
Well, you know what? How about we'll finish up that way? How about we will let Brian, close us out with...
We're not closing
out.
We're going to the full extent. No, we're going to the full extent of the archive. We're just going to keep going on all night.
That's 52 more minutes.
Really? You have that long of an archive? Wow.
Yes, because we're premium and we're cool.
Premium.
That's
wow. That's hardcore.
Yeah.
I admire that.
Wow. Yeah, but being that I have to get up for work in a little while.
She's gonna cut this off. that's pretty pussy of you. But
I know. So I hear all the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well then, you really want me to close out with all right. Fine. Let's see.
Yeah, Brian's just getting started. It's like he just woke up.
Yeah, exactly. I am just getting started, and I'm gonna have to like just do a spontaneous as I go show, I guess, and have everyone back on here. So you can go
well,
to bed.
Yeah, but you don't have Alethea and you don't have Mike because, as you know, they're occupied.
Right, they're on one of their dates. Yes, yeah.
So,
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're posting
on
about
by
orifices right now.
Right. I'll just get on there by myself and just spout out spontaneous retarded junk.
You've lost your insomniacs. See.
Yeah, I know. It sucks being an insomniac. All right, I'll just, here we go. Very short and quick one. This one is titled, That Girl Holding the Can of Spam.
Mm-hmm.
See that girl over there in the canned food aisle? I know her. She is like a VCR. Push the right buttons and you can program her to do anything. In poem, and my phone's about to die.
Oh, my
God. I'm on my shitty phone, the cheap Kmart one.
The cheap Kmart.
Yeah, Kmart.
Well, before your
remember?
Phone dies, will you commit to performing in Trader Joe's out in Oakland in July?
Of course, I get there in time to do that, yeah.
No, we'll wait for you. We will totally wait for you to do that.
And there they go.
I think we lost him, so I'm just going to, like, do the old end episode now and say goodnight. And this is, like I said, this has been another hour at least of everyone's time, and we're proud of it. We're proud of the fact that we've goofed around, aren't we, Paul?
Yay, spectral ganglia. I love
That's
it.
Right. That's right. All right. I will hang up now. Good night.
Good night.